ओम ज्ञाने थिमरंदस्य ज्ञानंजना शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वीरांत स्वामिनीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पश्चात्य देश तारिणे। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 6, Text 34, chapter entitled The Killing of the Demon Putana. Dayamanasya Dehasya Dumascha Guru Sorabaha Utita Krishna Nirbhukta Sapadya Hatapapmanaha. Dayamanasya, while being burnt to ashes. Dehasya, of the body of Putana. Dhumaha, the smoke. Cha, and. Aguru Sorabaha, turned into saintly scented smoke of the aguru herb. Utitaha, emanating from her body. Krishna nirbhukta, because of Krishna's having sucked her breast. Sapadi, immediately. Ahata pap manaha, her material body became spiritualized or relieved of all material conditions. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Because of Krishna's having sucked the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like aguru incense. Purport. Such are the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other becomes Krishna conscious by applying his senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately freed from material contamination. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17. Hearing about the activities of Krishna is the beginning of purified life. Punya Shravana Kirtana, simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes purified. Therefore, in discharging devotional service, Shravanam Kirtan, hearing and chanting, is most important. Then, with purified senses, one begins to render service to the Lord. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Bhaktir Uchate. This is called bhakti. When Putana was somehow or other, directly or indirectly, induced to render some service to the Lord by feeding him with her breast, she was immediately purified, so much so that when her nasty material body was burnt to ashes, it gave off the fragrance of aguru, the most agreeably scented herb. We've been listening to the pastime of Putana Vad for almost a month now. And today's verse describes the amazing quality of what happened after Putana regained her original form as a Rakshasi, and then the Vrajakosaka, under the direction of Upananda, they cut her body up, and with all the trees that fell down when she smashed to the ground, they burnt those parts of the body along the bank of the Jamuna, and everyone from all over Braj, because not everyone lived in Gokul. But when they smelled that beautiful scent, just like Aguru, of the burning of her body, and this scent, it permeated Braj. We know that Braj is a very big place. Vrindavan can sometimes mean just the one forest of Vrindavan, and Vrindavan can also mean all of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. So many, many cowherd men and women lived all over Braj, not only in Gokul. And this beautiful smoke permeated all over Braj, and they came running to find out, where was this beautiful scent coming from? Now, Aguru, we know, we read in the newspapers and hear every day how precious gold is and silver is. We also know when we do the deity worship how expensive saffron is, keshar, for worshiping the deity, and how dear it is. We can put the chandan with the keshar and the different recipes. This aguru is even more precious and more expensive, because the aguru, there's a particular tree that grows, and that tree sometimes becomes attacked by little insects or beetles, and the tree has a defense mechanism, and to counteract the insects it produces a resin within its trunk, within the heartwood, and that resin is what makes that beautiful scent. And it takes 50 to 60 years for a tree to develop that resin. So we're not speaking about just growing something for one season and then picking, as with keshar, you just pick it. 50 to 60 years it takes for one tree to develop this aguru. And this scent is the scent of Krishna's body. So when the Brijbasis came running, they were so astounded to see this form of Putana. Now, at the time when this happened, historically more than 5,000 years ago, because the people were right there seeing the pastime itself, there was no problem about logistically understanding how a woman, Bahurupi, who had received a special mantra from Durvasa, was able to change her form at will, because this was one of the mystic opulences that could be attained. But as time goes on, and as the Kali Yuga progresses, doubt arises. And this particular pastime, particularly, because it's the first pastime that Krishna performed, he was only a week old, many, many different ways we can see this Karunya Leela. This is a Leela showing Krishna's compassion. We know Krishna being just a week old, if anyone has anything to do with babies, a week old child, they can't even move their body by themselves. They can't grasp their hands, nothing. They can hardly see. But Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sakalendriya Vritimanti, he was already full with all these Sat-Aishvarya qualities. He already had all strength in his body, so powerful, so beautiful, so sweet. All of the qualities that we think of Krishna in his Tribhanga Shyamasundara form were already fully present in that small child's body. So therefore, when Krishna sucked the milk from Putana, because of his absolute nature, his sucking of this milk was just as if one of his mother's nurses or the cows were offering him milk, because of the absolute nature of the Lord. And the way the Lord was able to kill Putana was by the strength of his little lips. That's how powerful he was. Because just by sucking out the milk, at the same time sucking out her life, she screamed, "Mancha, mancha, leave me, leave me," and began to flee and run and Krishna arranged it that she ran out of the house and she assumed her form in such a faraway place that none of the houses and none of the people were disturbed when her 6 crores, 12-mile form was exhibited. So this is Krishna's absolute nature. And we can see this pastime, according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in 4 different ways. First of all, for those who are doubters, the atheists, the fools, the naradamas, who don't understand the Lord's appearance, this pastime can be termed as mythology. Mythology usually deals with gods and goddesses, and it fills the gap of explaining why things are the way they are. Now, mythology, this is termed as mythology, these beautiful pastimes of the Lord, not by the devotees, but by those who want to reduce the authenticity of the Lord's greatness. So at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because the English influence was very strong here in India, and the English influence primarily came from Christian doctrine, therefore they wanted to completely crush any aspects of Vedic culture, civilization, and knowledge. So they ascribed these magnificent pastimes of Krishna and his absolute nature to mere mythology, folk tales that a grandmother might tell her child when she has to put him to sleep. So that was simply to denigrate the Vedic culture, saying that these stories were simply stories, mythology. Now that's one way to look at Putanavad. The next is historically, because we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam and we're reading the history of Krishna's appearance in this 10th canto. And those of us who are very absorbed in understanding Krishna's pastimes, for instance, the Brajmandal Parikrama, they'll go to all the places of pastimes and delve very deeply into the Srinvatam, the hearing of the pastimes of the Lord, seeing all these pastime places, hearing the different legends of that area, singing the songs about these pastimes. So historically, they understand that it's very possible that this happened because all these places are still existing. Then there's the metaphorical understanding of this pastime. And this is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he developed. Now, a metaphor, we're familiar with metaphors. Metaphor is one aspect of poetry where something in our daily life is compared to something else. For instance, Prabhupada uses the metaphor that our two bodies, our subtle body and our material body, are compared to a shirt and a coat. So that's a metaphor. There was one devotee here, Kushikrata. He was a Sanskrit scholar and he translated so many of the shastras for our benefit. And when he was finished translating all the books he wanted to translate, he began to write Sanskrit poetry. And the last poem that he wrote, there was a beautiful metaphor. And he said that Krishna plays his flute and his flute sounds, the notes of his flute, fall to his feet just like flowers. So this is a beautiful metaphor. Shakespeare, he also used many metaphors, and his metaphors very much coincide with what some of the Vedic aphorisms are. He said that this world is like a stage, and the men and women are just like players who strut across the stage for some time. He described 7 different aspects of life. We describe 6. He gave a 7th that when the man in old age, right before death, he again attains his childish nature. No teeth, he can't see, he can't talk. He talks and acts just like a little child again. So for him, he described all of this just as players going across a stage. So these metaphors are very much used in literature. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he understood that he was dealing with people at his time who no longer believed that historically these pastimes took place. So he took the pastime of Putana to the metaphorical level. And because Putana was the first of the demons that Krishna killed, he said that the first anartha that we have to be cautious of in our spiritual life is Putana. And Putana is a representation, metaphorically, of the false guru, the false teacher. Because Putana, she came in the garb of a nurse, a beautiful young girl. She looked like she was only 16 years old, fully decorated. The Brijbasis, who were very simple-natured, they thought that she was the goddess of fortune. She came and offered her milk to Krishna. But she added Kalakuta poison, which is a very quick-acting poison. And as soon as a baby has one small fraction of that poison, the baby instantly dies. So her intention was to kill. Now the false guru, they come, they appear to have all the garb of a guru. They speak very nicely, just as Putana did, but they inject poison. And that poison is, they take the philosophy and misconstrue it. A devotee once asked Srila Prabhupada that some devotees are preaching, but they don't preach exactly as you taught us. They have their own method of preaching. And Prabhupada quoted Sartaka, Janma Sartaka. That upon taking a human birth, first you should perfect your own life, and then you should preach. Until you yourself are not perfected, what will you be able to preach? And Prabhupada, he defined what is that perfection. That perfection is amara agya. Follow my orders. So as Prabhupada preached, that is exactly how he wanted us to preach. In the very beginning, sometimes they got this idea to have dancing parties. They would all dance in unison. They would have so many musical instruments to accompany the dancing on Sankirtan. Prabhupada just stopped the whole thing. He said, you just need mridanga, you need kartals. And dancing, we're not interested in making a show of our dancing. We're dancing out of our love for Krishna. So he stopped all of that. So, and our manner of dancing, of course, this is not a reform class. Manner of dancing, Prabhupada taught us how to dance, the Swami dance. He taught it, he showed us that all the acharyas danced in this way with their arms upreached and their feet going from side to side. But now devotees have another way of dancing. So this is how we have to perfect our preaching techniques. As Srila Prabhupada taught us, that's how we should preach. So the false guru, who is represented by Putana, she appears to be a nurse, a beautiful woman, coming with something that normally gives nourishment, but what she gives is poison. So this is the first thing when we become new devotees, new bhaktas, just entering devotional life. We must be very cautious of who we take shelter of. And that cautiousness, we have the balanced system, guru, shastra, and sadhu. If we see that there are inebrieties in a person, we have to check against these three checks and balances. But in the 11th canto, Sri Krishna warns Uddhava. He said, neither we should praise, nor we should criticize. Because if we do either, we become deviated for our actual purpose of performing bhakta. So sometimes, this happened about 40 years ago, there was a big reform movement. They wanted to reform ISKCON. And then after the reform movement, there was a ISKCON reform movement. They wanted to reform the reformers. So what happens is, we might see inebrieties in others. Of course, we never see them in ourselves. We see that others are doing something wrong, or we might want to praise others for the wonderful service they're doing. But simply by concentrating on what other people are doing, it deviates us on our path of trying to perfect our Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said that those who are crusaders, actually they become haunted by the very deviations that they're trying to remove, because they're thinking of those deviations all the time. So we're not crusaders. We're not trying to fix up everybody else's wrongdoings. We are trying to perfect our Krishna consciousness according to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, so that we can help others also come onto the line of bhakti. So this was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point in pointing out Putana as the false guru. He said, only Krishna can kill the Putanas. Because there are many Putanas, there are many false gurus. So he used plural. Krishna can kill the Putanas just as he killed the original Putana, by simply sucking out her life. We don't have that power. We have two things only, and that is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of devotees from the bona fide speakers and chanting the holy name. Therefore, if we take shelter of these two things, because Krishna is present in these two, Srimad Bhagavatam and his holy name, he will kill Putana for us. We don't have to do the crusading, the criticizing, and the reforming. Now that brings us to the next sloka. The next sloka, 35, it's here it's combined with 35-36. Today is a very auspicious day, the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri, who took sannyas in the line of Madhavacharya. From Madhavacharya came Lakshmipati, and Madhavendra Puri took his initiation from Lakshmipati. Madhavendra Puri, he was the, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the seed of the tree of love of Godhead. And his disciple, Ishvara Puri, was the sapling of that tree. And Lord Chaitanya was the trunk of that tree. And all of Lord Chaitanya's pure followers are the branches of that tree, which are described in the Adi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now, Madhavendra Puri had many renowned disciples, such as Ishvara Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya. And he had one disciple. His name was Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik Vidyanidhi lived in what's now Bangladesh, and he decided to come to Navadvip. And when he arrived in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without even knowing he had come because he's a Supreme Lord, he called out, "My father, Bap, Bap." Because Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is Brishabhanu in Gauralila, the father of Srimati Radharani. Now, he would try to hide his loving sentiments by pretending to be a materialist. And therefore, when he came to live in Navadvip, he had servants surrounding him, fanning him, seated upon satin cushions, chewing pan with a spittoon, and beautiful clothing, scented hair. And he was sitting there, and Mukunda, who was Vrindadevi in Gauralila, he decided to bring his dear friend Gadadhar Pandit to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit, when he saw who he considered to be a gross materialist sitting there being fanned by servants, his mind became polluted, thinking, how can Mukunda bring me to see such a person? Mukunda understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit and began to sing a beautiful sloka, which I don't know by heart, so I'll read it. If I can find it. Excuse me. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigam shaya payayad apya asadvi lebi gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kam va dayalum sharanam brajema. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to the demon Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? Now, when he chanted this sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and Pundarik Vidyaniti heard it, he began to tremble, he began to tear his clothes, he began to roll on the floor, he began to shout, my heart is made of stone, my heart is made of wood, I can't receive the mercy of Krishna. Even Putana, a great demon, she received his mercy, but he's cheated me, I can't get that mercy. And he couldn't control himself. And he said, more, you tell me more. And then Mukunda quoted in some of the shastras, it said that he quoted this text 35. Putana was always hankering for the blood of human children, and with that desire she came to kill Krishna. But because she offered her breast to the Lord, she attained the greatest achievement. What then is to be said of those who have natural devotion and affection for Krishna as mothers, and who offered him their breast to suck, or offered something very dear, as a mother offers something to a child? So this was too much for Pundarik Vidyaniti. No one could control him. 10 men tried to hold him down when he heard this pastime. So we'll see tomorrow, because now it's been 1 month we've been hearing this pastime. We'll see if anyone manifests these symptoms of ecstatic love for Krishna hearing this sloka when we hear the original tomorrow. Now, Pundarik Vidyaniti, though 10 men finally were able to control him, by that time everything was broken. The whole room was a mess. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw the effects of just hearing about Putana and how she attained the mercy of Krishna, but Pundarik Vidyaniti was not able to attain that mercy, then he realized he had committed an offense. And he begged that, please, I want to take shelter of this person. He asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to take diksha from him. He got the blessings of Mahaprabhu, and then he took diksha from this disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Now, Madhavendra Puri, though he took sannyas in the Madhavacharya line, at that time, Madhavacharya's line was very much involved in the worship of Vishnu according to the rules and regulations. So Madhavendra Puri was the seed of love of God within that sampradaya. And particularly, he gave the seed of Sringar Ras, which previously did not exist in that sampradaya. And that seed of Sringar Ras was imbibed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Only Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand the Vipralamba Bhav of Radharani herself. At the time of his disappearance, which we're celebrating today, he sang a very beautiful song, poetry. And this poetry, again, there's a metaphor. The metaphor is that just as when you grind sandalwood, then the aroma becomes more manifested. So by hearing this sloka Our love for Krishna in the mood of Radharani becomes more and more enhanced, though none of us are able to understand that love as Madhavendra Puri did. So Dharmamma is going to sing that sloka. So Srila Madhavendra Puri, you want to read the translation, please? Yes.
O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now?
So this is the mood of Srimati Radharani when Krishna left Braj and went to live in Mathura. And when Srila Madhavendra Puri was exhibiting his uprakat lila, that means he was preparing to leave this world, he would call out again and again, Mathura na painu, Mathura na painu. I've not been able to attain Mathura. And he would, this verse was chanted at the time when he left his body. So naturally, when the guru prepares to leave the world, his disciples, they want to serve him. So Ishvara Puri, he was there serving his Guru Maharaj very, very humbly. And another disciple came, Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri, he considered Madhavendra Puri to be an ordinary person. He didn't understand the elevated platform of his love for Sri Krishna. So when he heard his spiritual master calling out, Mathura na painu, and saw his lamentation that he, because he wasn't here in Mathura, in his bodily form, he foolishly and greatly offensively, he reprobated his spiritual master. He said, you are Brahman. Why are you lamenting? You are full of happiness. And when Madhavendra Puri heard this, he became enraged that I'm suffering so much and this person has come just to give me more pain. And he drove him out of his association. At that time, he rejected him as his disciple. And because of that rejection, and because of the guru aparad that he had committed, he lost his connection with his spiritual master, and therefore he became afflicted with what's called vasana. Now, vasana, it's usually translated as material desires, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in his case, he became afflicted with reasoning and logic, trying to understand things intellectually. That's another type of vasana. And because of this affliction of vasana, he began to commit not only guru aparad, but then Vaishnava aparad. We know the story of when he came and offended Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by accusing him of eating too many sweets. And devotee after devotee, he had a trick to trick them to eat more and then criticize them. So this is what happens when we don't understand that the guru is the direct representation of Sri Krishna. But before that, we have to accept a bona fide, genuine guru. And that's why the importance of Putana comes first. So Madhavendra Puri, when he was engaged in his pastimes to leave, Ishvara Puri served him hand and foot, cleaning his body, recounting the pastimes of the Lord to Madhavendra Puri, chanting his holy name, And in that way, Madhavendra Puri, while chanting this beautiful mantra, he was able to leave the world very remembering the Supreme Lord in the mood of Radharani. Now, this is the lamentation of a devotee for Krishna. But Madhavendra Puri was so elevated that Krishna himself, he was waiting for Madhavendra Puri to come. This is another sloka. Gopal, the deity that Madhavendra Puri was able to rediscover, he says, Bahudin tomara pat kori nirikshan, kabe ashi Madhava, ama koribe sevan. Gopal says, I've been looking on the path, waiting for you to come. When will you come and serve me, Madhava? It's Madhava Puri, Madhavendra Puri. So this is the Lord in Vrindavan, at Govardhan. He's looking for when his devotees will come to serve him. So this is a different type of feeling of separation. When the Lord actually feels separated from his devotee and wants him to come and serve him. So that was the elevated platform that Madhavendra Puri was on. He was on the Paramahansa level. He had completely Nidrahara Vihara Vijito. He had completely overcome or conquered, defeated, sleeping, eating, enjoying, and therefore he never made any arrangements even for his own eating. He could have begged as other sannyasis did, but he accepted the ayachita vritti or the ajagara vritti. And that means he, just as an ajagara, that's a python, they simply lie on the path and they wait until something comes into their mouth. So Madhavendra Puri, because he was always absorbed in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he never made any arrangement for his own eating. And therefore Krishna himself came and brought him milk. And that is the beginning of that pastime that we hear when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his way to Puri, this pastime at Remuna, when he went to see Kirchor Gopinath. This pastime was related. And then at that time, this sloka was also chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand this elevated Vipralamba Bhava that was introduced by Madhavendra Puri. And we're so fortunate because we are studying now this Putana Vad Lila. We're understanding how Putana came, and there are many, many descriptions of Putana in the different shastras. Of course, we're studying Srimad Bhagavat Purana, so we go according to that. In the earlier skandhas, it was described that actually her form was that of an owl. We know that owls, at night, they come just like Aswatthama. He took the example of an owl, because at night, that's when they roam. And particularly, they're looking for the eggs, the little babies, to eat. They're cannibalistic. They'll eat other birds. And because the other birds are sleeping at night, they'll come at night and eat those baby birds. So her brother was Baka, who was a bagula, a duck. She had the form of an owl, but because of her particular benediction, she was able to change her form. And there's another Purana, Brahma Vaivarta Purana, that describes how Kamsa, when he was wandering, looking for allies, because he wanted to make all of the demons his allies and make his, so that he was the most powerful of all the demons. Many of them wouldn't even fight with him. They just immediately surrendered to him. But Baka, he fought with Kamsa. And Baka, just like he tried to swallow Krishna, he tried to swallow Kamsa, but Kamsa was too strong, so Baka had to vomit him out. And then Kamsa, he crushed him and dragged him. And when Baki, Putana, saw what Kamsa was doing to her brother, she came to attack him also, to fight with him. But Kamsa said, "No, you're a woman. I'm not going to fight with you. He's now my brother, and you're now my sister. So you come, you join with me, you become my ally." So that's how Baka and Baki became the allies of Kamsa, and they came as his ministers to Mathura. So there also is described that, of course, there are different renditions. Some of the speakers have said that Putana was Ratnavali, the sister of Bali Maharaj. In this Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it's described that she was this is a conversation between Narayan Rishi and Narada Muni. So Narayan Rishi, he says that she was the daughter of Bali Maharaj. Her name was Ratnamala. And we've heard many times now how she was attracted by the beauty of Vamanadeva, but then when Vamanadeva tricked her father, then she wanted to poison that same child that she wanted to breastfeed. So these stories are there so that we can understand historically. Again, we go back. So we've heard of three different types of seeing this sloka and this pastime, and that is that it's myth, it didn't happen, that it's historical, it might have happened here in Braj, that it's metaphorical, that these representations of the demons mean something to the devotees, and the last and the topmost, that these pastimes are transcendental. Now this is the way the devotees see the pastimes. Just as Nanda Maharaj, he didn't try to analyze who was Putana, how did she come here, why did this happen, how did this happen. No, he was so simple-minded and just thinking of his little son. This is how Krishna got his name, Adhokshaja. Because when Krishna sucked out her life and she attained her form, and everyone was racing to see where little Krishna was, they all were sure that he had been crushed by her. They saw him playing on her chest. And then they gave that name, Adhokshaja, as if he had just taken another birth, because they were amazed to see that he was still alive. So the devotees don't try to analyze. They were just so happy to see that Krishna was still living. Therefore, he got this name, Adhokshaja. Nanda Maharaj, he just understood that Vasudeva had warned him something was going to happen. Now, Prabhupada, he gives an example of that. He speaks about astrology. Because Nanda Maharaj, he was saying that, oh, he's a great saint, he's a great seer. How did he know this, that this was going to happen in the future? So he gives the example of a fool who was sitting on the branch of a tree and he was sawing the branch. And a man walks by and says to the fool, he said, "You're going to fall. You're sawing the branch of the tree." And the fool says, "Ah, bah, who are you?" Ah. And he goes on continuing to saw, and then he falls. And they say, "Oh, he's a great astrologer. He could see the future." So this astrology is just for fools. This is, at one point, Prabhupada was saying this. So Vasudeva, he understood, because of his diplomatic Kshatriya brain, he knew what Kamsa was doing, how he was sending all the demons, and Putana being the first that he sent. Because in this Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it's also described that as Kamsa was sitting, an unembodied voice told him at that time what Vasudeva had done. He exchanged the babies. So then Kamsa immediately sent Putana first to the village of Nanda Maharaj to kill Krishna, because he knew it from the unembodied voice at that time. So Vasudeva understood these things. But being a simple, pure devotee, in this mood of Vatsalya Ras, Nanda Maharaj wasn't thinking of any of these details. He just ran, he picked up his son, he smelled his head, he embraced him, and was just thanking Narayan, saying, "Because I've worshipped Narayan, Narayan has saved him." Now, Sridham, We know Sridham is one of the closest friends of Krishna. And he would challenge Krishna. He would say, "What, you think you're strong? How many times have I gone on your shoulder? You think you killed Putana? You didn't kill Putana. It was the Brahmins who chanted mantras who killed Putana." So this is the way the friends of Krishna see Krishna. They didn't see his glorious strength in awe, that, oh, Krishna killed all... No, they were making fun of Krishna. When all the demigods came here to Jet after Krishna killed Agasura, and they were offering prayers from the clouds. Even Brahma came because the demigods were all offering prayers. So the cowherd boys, they were imitating the demigods. Because they knew Krishna was just their friend. So this is the transcendental nature of a devotee, how he sees these pastimes. They just love Krishna. Mother Yasoda, this is described in the Nectar Devotion, she would always be worried about Krishna. She had a nightmare one night. She was dreaming. She was dreaming that she looked outside of her house and she saw that big form of Putana again. And she got so worried, she woke up and she ran to see that Krishna was still in the room. So the devotees are fully absorbed, not in trying to analyze, did it happen? Where did it happen? Why did it happen? Who was it? No, Krishna, this is your Karunya Lila. Your Karunya Lila means you are so merciful that just like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he said, this demon, she got your mercy, but I couldn't get your mercy. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his mercy to Jagai and Madhai, they offered prayers. And they said, Putana, she's better than us because she offered you her milk. She actually offered you something. Although it was covered with poison, on the absolute platform, she offered you something. But we never offered you anything. We're drunkards, we're women. All we did was sinful activities. We struck Nityananda Prabhu. We did no service whatsoever. Still, you gave us your mercy. Therefore, you are the most merciful. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Even without any qualification, he gives mercy. He gives this apavarga, because we're all suffering from pavarga, this struggling very hard, so hard that there's fena at the mouth, there's foam at the mouth, and we're frustrated, and ultimately, ma, there's death. So Krishna, he gives to the demons even, apavarga, that liberation. So what happened to Putana after she was liberated? This is so interesting, because we're on the outside. Unless any of us are Paramahansas, we can see what's going on in the Nitya Lila of the Lord. But we don't know what's happening actually in Goloka Vrindavan. We hear about it only. But what Krishna did was, he benedicted Mother Putana to become one of the mothers, just as Yashoda Mayi is. Now, Yashoda Mayi, she has pure motherly affection for the Lord. And Putana, she was awarded to be one of the nurses. Krishna has two wet nurses. Wet nurses are ladies who, when the mother is busy or her milk runs out, they also feed their breast milk to the child. And the two foremost of them are Ambika and her sister Kalimba. So she attained that position as a nurse. But her love for Krishna, because in the spiritual world everyone loves Krishna, she was awarded with the position, her love is Sukha and Aishwarya. She's so happy, but she also sees the magnificence of the Lord. And she did not live immediately in the same area where Mother Yasoda lived. She's in another part of Braj. Now, this happiness of a mother feeding the child, or also the cows feeding the milk to Krishna. This was awarded to the mothers and the cows by Krishna during this lila of the Agasuravad, Agahari. Because during that year, when Krishna had taken all the forms of the calves and the cowherd boys, now all of the elderly gopis, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about the elevated position of the gopis, he's not just speaking about the conjugal lovers. He's also speaking about the elderly gopis who had this maternal love for Krishna. Because these elderly gopis who had the maternal affection for Krishna, they were given the opportunity to actually have Krishna as their sons, and the cows to actually have Krishna as their calves, and to feed him their milk directly. So that was a great benediction that Krishna gave to all of the mothers in Braja, Mother Yasoda being the foremost of all the mothers. And Krishna awarded this to Putana. So those of us who are here still in the material world rotting, we have a chance, just as Jaghai and Madhai. What did they offer to the Lord? Nothing. But still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his blessings and liberated them. So if we continue hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy names of the Lord, we also might get that same blessing that Krishna gave to Putana. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
How far do we take Sadhu Shastra Guru?
Some people don't believe in Krishna, but then we're trying to follow others who are telling us about the absolute truth, and we say, accept it. Sadhu Shastra Guru. And how does the surrender of faith come into it if we're doing too much checking with Sadhu Shastra Guru about different aspects of somebody's teachings? So we check everything.
Yes.
Sadhu Shastra Guru. So.
That's also explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Krishna, when he sees the sincerity of the devotee, he will take you to a genuine guru. Because there are two types of putanas. There's the external putana, and there's the internal putana. That's the putana within us. Now, the false gurus cannot be false gurus unless they have followers. And those followers, Prabhupada calls them the cheaters and the cheated. The followers want to be cheated. And therefore, a guru who is offering them something other than bhakti will be attracted to those particular cheating gurus. But when Krishna sees that we're sincere, then he takes us to a genuine guru. And therefore, we have to again take shelter of these two things, the holy name and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Krishna sees that we're sincerely taking shelter, he will take us to a genuine guru. Is that all right? Thank you. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.